Generation X, laughing at the world today. We're getting older, but we're still gonna play.
Today I went to Publix. Publix is a grocery store chain. If you're not familiar with them, they're very good. They have great subs, and I ordered a sub. And I thought, well, I could go back to the radio station and eat it outside on a table where, you know, odds are there'll be a guy with a, you know, because it's in a residential area of town, and there'll be a guy or two or 7,000 of them with leaf blowers, and it'll disturb my lunch. So I'm going to sit in front of the Publix at these tables right here in Midtown and eat my turkey sub. And as soon as I do, comes this humongous guy on one of those rascal scooters. And he's mumbling to himself, "Motherfucking God, I got it, buddy, but it's my money. And if you got a vine, why is it always got to be that I got to do that?" And then he, guess what? He backs up right next to me. You know what I'm saying? And right then I made a choice. Am I going to get up and walk away, or am I going to engage him? And I went, "Yeah, I know what you're saying. Everybody's trying to F with you. Everybody's trying to take your..." "Yeah, I'm right." And then it was 15 minutes of me trying to shove a sub into my mouth and get the hell out of there, because he was the king of New Zealand in England, and it was from his father's side. And then he told me, I asked him where he was from originally, and he said, "Alabama, Mississippi, South Carolina, North Carolina, West Virginia, Tennessee, Kentucky, Louisiana, Alabama, and Georgia. That's where I'm from."
He gets around on a rascal.
He sure does. He goes, "I look out here, all I see is got asphalt." I said, "Yeah." I said, "Thank you, Fred Sanford," and I got up and left.
So when are you releasing the diss track about this guy?
I thought about doing that because he brought it up. He goes, "What the hell is wrong with Drake?" Because we don't know. I don't know anything about it. Steph, I would guess that out of the four of us, you might be more in tune with what's going on with this. I don't know anything about Drake. My only thought is that Kendrick Lamar would be above something like this because he's an artist and Drake is just a commercial, you know, guy who raps.
I mean, I've listened to all the songs. I think the first one, the first person shoot, was on Drake's last album, and he did it with J. Cole. And it's kind of a banger. It is. I like it.
Okay.
But I didn't even think about him saying shit about Kendrick in it. It didn't even occur to me that that's what he was doing. I don't really listen. I'm just fucking listening to the beat for the most part. But then I guess he said something there, and then Kendrick responded, and it's just been bah, 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 and then he throws a track at him, and he throws a track at him. But they were like bringing up some really deep and personal shit on each other. Like, you know, Drake's trying to say Kendrick's got a hidden child that he doesn't talk about. And
so that's because Drake wants to date that child.
Well, it's right. And then Kendrick's saying that he's basically a pedophile. And
he's a map.
Right. And then Drake responded back, "I never did nothing with Millie Bobby Brown." And then
yeah, but
like, nobody
he
said
wasn't
that
specific.
You did, so why'd you just bring her up? So maybe you did. So, but now it's kind of escalated into yesterday. Drake's OVO store in London got graffiti tagged with one of the titles from Kendrick's diss tracks, Not Like Us. So they spray painted that on the front of the store. And then Drake's security guard at his house outside of Toronto got shot last night.
See, I don't think, when I think gang warfare, I don't think Toronto.
Nobody does.
Nobody does.
Nobody does. Vegas, these are clearly, I think, Kendrick fans just taking this way too far is what it sounds like. This isn't Kendrick and Drake doing this crap to each other. I don't think at all.
Drake wasn't interested in Millie Bobby Brown when he found out 11 was her character's name.
He still thinks he's on Degrassi.
Yeah, no shit. I have no interest in this other than I find it fascinating that we all know what happened in the 90s between Tupac and Biggie. And back then, I'd listen to that music, but I don't know any. I'm too old.
They both came from similar platforms. So the only difference was one was East Coast and one was West Coast, but they basically came from the same backgrounds.
Tupac was kind of a phony because he was classically trained actor and all that. I mean, he wasn't a phony, but that thug persona was a persona.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Biggie's mom was a teacher. You know, he grew up in a crack house either. So, I mean, they both were kind of fronting for the most part. But the thing about this is, if the rap community will not give Eminem like a high whatever, whether you like him to rap or not, lyrically, you can't beat him. Nobody's going to challenge him in a rap battle. But if they won't give it to Eminem, there's no way they're going to give it to Drake because he's biracial and he's a Canadian. So that makes him white completely, 100%.
He's boring. He's boring and he carves little hearts in his head.
Well, he's just not Kendrick. I mean, Kendrick, he lived everything that he talks about. I mean, get out of here.
Well,
in the end, I would say I think all of these beefs are stupid and I don't have any idea. They're both almost 40 years old. What are they doing?
I don't know, sir, but I was too busy doing long form podcasts to write any jokes. Bitch, I'm gonna walk around for an hour back and forth and show some pictures, bitch.
It's hard to determine how many times he said bitch versus the other word that we're not allowed to say, nor would I want to, even if we were. But he said that an awful lot. Kicking off Netflix is a joke fest on Friday night last week. I was excited to watch this. Cat Williams had a brand new special called Woke Folk. And it was not funny at all. An hour I wasted watching that. I kind of chuckled at the end when he made the joke about reparations. And because I kind of agree with that. But the way he was talking about it was very funny. He goes, if you give us reparations, white people can use the N-word whenever they feel like it. That was funny. I don't think you should do that even if you get reparations.
No.
But I didn't think it was funny. Did you guys watch it?
No.
I watched it.
You did. You watched
10 minutes of it.
Yeah.
Oh, you watched the whole thing and I didn't laugh once.
I watched it live.
Yeah.
My sister took my nephew and his girlfriend to see him in Mobile, Alabama.
Oh, yeah?
Like a month and a half ago.
Now, was it good? Did they have a good time?
No, they had a horrible time.
Why? Were they the only white people there?
Yeah, but it's kind of different in Mobile. You know, like, they're my sister and like my nephew or whatever used to go into places in Detroit. It's kind of a different feeling. Even if you are like the only whitey, it's not the same. In Mobile, it's like a very like, get out of here.
Yeah.
We don't want you here. So, yes, it felt very uncomfortable. My sister was like, it was just every time they would say, because he talked about white people the whole time. And she said it was like us and like three other ones. And everybody would always look at us. Like, are they laughing at it?
Well, how do you think black people felt when they went to see Pat Boone?
Yeah, all those black people showing up to see Pat Boone.
There had to be one or two there in the back. That's how the era was. And Pat Boone was the lily white performer I could think of off the top of my head. If nobody knows who he is, Google him and you'll go, oh, yeah, that guy's the whitest person that ever existed. Richard Pryor used to do a great bit he did it once. He was recording something from D.C. and he goes, white people, you can't aim anyway. But of course, everybody loved Richard Pryor, white and black and Asian and Hispanic. Comedy isn't really for just one set of people, right? Comedy is, and that's why I've liked plenty of things that Cat Williams has done over the years. I just felt this one was just weird. I don't know why he did it that the way he did it, but there was sorely lacking in jokes. But that's the end, because after that, it was a Netflix weekend for Tim Andrews. I got to tell you, one of the funniest comedies, really, really underplayed. Nobody's talking about it, but it's called Baby Reindeer. It's nonstop.
It's
so funny.
Knee slapper.
Oh, my God. It is hilarious. It is actually a really good show.
Once you get through all that grooming, it starts to be really funny.
The grooming part. Oh, I was on the floor laughing so much at that show. It is intense. No wonder Stephen King likes it so much. And that show has its own controversies. But we are talking about Netflix as a joke. But it's the most I've watched on Netflix in forever.
bitch. That bitch wouldn't be stalking me, bitch.
Anyway, who wrote this thing about L.A.?
That was me. I'm talking about that. John Mulaney, everybody's in L.A.
Oh, yeah. Was it good?
I mean, it's a train wreck, but it's fun to watch.
And why is it a train wreck?
Because he's trying to host a talk show live.
Okay.
You know, everybody on the panels is like, I don't know, they don't give a shit.
Talking over him and talking over each other. There's no... Yeah,
All the pre-tape bits were great, except last night's were kind of meh. The Patton Oswalt one was funny, but...
The humor isn't good, it's just cringy?
Yeah, well, the Patton Oswalt one they did, they took super fans of Parks and Recreation, and they had them stand in front of these cutouts of Tina Fey, mm-hmm. Amy Poehler, and they made it seem like Tina Fey and Amy Poehler were going to come out, mm-hmm. but then... Two like schlubby comedy writers who maybe wrote one episode of 30 Rock came out.
There are two other things that I think most of us watched on Netflix. One of them being the Jerry Seinfeld movie, Unfrosted, which I didn't expect a great deal from this movie, but
it was hilarious.
It was very, very funny. And
I loved it.
I laughed a lot. I didn't get up. I didn't look at my phone. I didn't get, you know, I wasn't bored. It was a cute movie. A story that came from a place in the heart. It sort of paralleled The Princess Bride, where a guy tells his grandson a story to get him to sleep. This, in case, is Seinfeld. His character is telling a runaway a story to keep him there until his parents show up. And it was filled with all sorts of wonderful pop culture references from, well, Jerry's older than us, but his era, and then all we know all that stuff, and it was great. And Jim, everybody, you guys talk about it.
The Mad Men.
You know that sketch. Oh, what were they were going to call it?
Sexy Pop Tarts.
Sensual. The sensual pop.
Oh, right? Yeah. People are saying that I've seen just online and stuff. Well, I can't watch it because this person's in it or that. But fuck all that. Get rid of that. Get it out of your mind. Seinfeld made it, so you know that it's going to be something that Seinfeld did.
Bill Burr.
Bill Burr, fantastic.
Yeah, he was great.
I got the Doublemint twins are coming in here.
Melissa McCarthy, she was so low-key hilarious in this movie. It was like the little things she did whenever Jerry came rolling up to her at the NASA thing, and as he's driving up, she just goes, Cabana.
Yeah.
Just little shit like that is what killed me. Or whenever she was reading that Mad magazine and she goes, they don't really pull any punches.
Right. That was the low key funniest joke in the world. They don't pull any punches. But an amazing, amazing cast. Christian Slater as Mike Dot.
The
milkman enforcer. Yeah. And again, we've already mentioned it, but Jim Gaffigan as Ansel Kellogg III. Roland.
He was great.
Yeah, when he was talking about, how people used to just milk cows for fun and throw it at some girls.
Throw it at some girls. It was just ridiculous. It was just fun. And we need more movies like that. And all these sanctimonious critics. I want to read some of these. I want to read some of these because they're stupid. Let's see. Because I don't get it. The audience score is creeping up a little bit. It's at 57%. With 250 ratings, but the Philistines, 39% on the tomato meter from all these critics. What to know? Matt Zollersites. He's a very snooty guy. It's not only a critic-proof movie, it's an artistry-proof movie and an audience-proof movie. I think the numbers are proving you wrong, critic boy. Let's see. Donald Liebenson from the Chicago Reader says, this film is so eager to please that ends with a song and dance number and bloopers. Mileage will vary on whether that frosts your flakes.
They're not going for Academy Awards here.
Oh, they're making a movie for people to laugh.
It's a fucking farce. Have you ever watched a farce in your life? My God.
We expect more from our modern comedy.
It was a ravioli that was alive.
Got in the walls.
Little shit.
Bobby Moynihan as Chef Boyardee. That was
Bobby amazing. Moynihan was great. Thomas Lennon as the Nazi.
Yeah, that was great.
Schumer was great. Whenever she was given those Pop-Tarts, and she was like, we'll do it raw.
Right. Yeah.
Her assistant, he was hilarious too.
Oh yeah,
Greenfield.
Greenfield, yeah.
He was like, I ate the poison cereal and it didn't do anything. He had blood coming out of his nose.
Patrick Warburton, a little tiny role. Very, very funny. Let's snap, crackle, and pop. Very, very funny.
God, at the funeral when they were folding the flags. Crackle, pop.
Oh, yeah. Jack McBrayer's character, Steve Schwinn, dies and he explodes for no reason. They're all at the funeral. The wife's crying.
And he exploded. I fucking died laughing.
Oh, I did too. And they do the ceremonial cereal burial where they pour.
Well, the mascot, Cedric Yarbrough, he's the Pecan Sam.
Yeah, pouring the shit into the grave, pouring the milk and the cereal, and then cutting up the bananas.
Oh, God, the cutting the bananas, that killed me.
And speaking of the mascots, the January 6th thing, that was hilarious, too. They storm into the Kellogg's building, and they get the thing stamped, and then Hugh Grant's character goes, subtle exit.
he had his outfit, Tony the Tiger, like that guy with the horse.
Yes, yes, that's
great. That was great.
Your kids were awesome.
They were good, too, yeah.
That had to be Jerry's doing, I'm sure, because I know Jerry was like, we're not going to have any crappy kids. These kids better be funny.
Yeah, they were. Peter Dinklage's Harry Friendly was fucking great, too.
Yeah, that girl, I heard you, Dustin, whenever she said, about blew the back of my head off.
Uh-huh.
The little dumpster girl.
It reminded me sort of the Weird Al movie.
Yeah.
The Weird Al biography, just pure nonsense based on things that were real and putting them all in your movie. Spike Ferriston is the ravioli voice. Who else is in this? I didn't see George Wallace. Huh.
And that was wasn't that the Truckee River Killer playing Cronkite?
He was Lloyd. Oh, the
Cronkite. Truckee River Killer?
The impressionist dude.
Yeah.
I'll drink as much as I goddamn want.
Yes. And the cameraman looking at him. What is his name? I always forget his damn name. And he's one of the best impressionists out there. Fred Armisen, by the way, was really, really funny. And the Mad Men scene, very, very, very funny.
Mm-hmm.
And why am I such a dummy who doesn't remember people's names? Is it because I'm getting older? I think it's because I'm getting older. Kyle Dunnigan was Walter.
Yeah, Dunnigan.
That's John the Truckee River Killer from Reno 911.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Johnny Carson, he was both. Ed McMahon was Daryl Hammond.
I thought Johnny Carson might be Dana Carvey. I meant to look at that in the credits.
They put face, eye face on him. So it's a huge cast. It's really, really fun.
What about Dinklage doing that Tyrion monologue?
Yeah. Oh, yes.
comes out with the bell, with the shame bell, but it's a cowbell.
So if you haven't seen it, we didn't really spoil all the jokes, even though we've spoiled a couple things. Watch it, because it's funny, and I think you'll like it. If you're into comedy like that, if you're a snooty prick, then you're not going to like it. But hey, it's a farce. Why don't people like my movie? It's unfrosted. It was very, very good. And congratulations to Jerry. Keep making funny movies. We decided that we'd all come up with our own cereal. Thank you, Steph. That was your idea. That we are going to write up our own little cereal. So why don't you guys go first? Like if we had, we made our own.
I made Jeffy O's.
Jeffy O's, I like that. Did you design this or did you use AI? This looks like
AI, of course.
So I would eat Jeffy O's, and I don't know what they're made out of.
Guaranteed O in every bowl.
Oh, good. Okay.
Show me your O face.
Yeah.
I'll definitely eat Jeffy O's. Are you kidding me?
I'd eat Jeffy O's all
day. I'll eat them at work all day. Get through the day. Mine came from a place of when I was watching Unfrosted, I thought to myself, what's a cereal that I've never seen and would love? And I thought of some desserts. And what is my favorite dessert? Which is creme brulee. Yeah. And then one of my favorite crooners, Robert Goulet. So I thought, wow, wouldn't that be great to have a big bowl of creme goulets?
Yes.
With little Robert Goulet faces, as you know, in the bowl.
Goulet. I love it. I like the.
But it tastes like creme brulee.
Freddy Krueger's part of the monster cereals.
Yeah.
The Freddy O's. And then I said, not to be confused with Fredberries.
Jeff, yours is such a great narrative.
Yeah, dude, yours are great. I got a stupid idea to make Woody O's, which are little bagel chips and Lox flavored marshmallows.
You're not allowed to put any milk on them.
Well, they're not made
of milk. You have to use almond milk.
Pour some Woody's in your bowl. It's a brand new Triplox flavored marshmallows and bagel chips. Pour on the milk and dig right in. Woody's breakfast cereals, where your day begins. Every kid on the block loves Woody's, it's true. You can eat them every day, even if you're not a Jew. Woody's in your bowl, bagel flakes and yummy lots. There's a double scoop of neurosis in every box.
All right. Now we got to talk about something I don't know if everyone watched, and I hope everyone did, because it's the funniest thing I've seen in a very long time. I laughed all night long, like belly laughs, and it's probably the best roast I've ever seen. I'm talking about the Tom Brady roast. Did everyone watch it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Some.
You didn't make it through all of it. It was 3 hours long. That's a long-ass roast.
It was very long.
Yeah, I watched probably about half of it, maybe. A little bit more. Yeah. I wouldn't want to see Glazer, so I'm...
Well, we're kind of all over the place on stuff like this, but I don't care. I'm going to tell you right off the bat who I thought the in order, starting with number one, my top roasters were. Tony Hinchcliffe, I thought, killed it. I thought he was on point. I thought he was great. Andrew Schultz, who we've talked about these guys on the show because you all know who they are and they're all new to me. I thought Andrew Schultz was really, really funny as well. Nikki Glazer, amazing, great jokes. Slade. Jeff Ross, he never fails at these things, even though Tom Brady had to get up and yell at him for the joke he said about Kraft.
I didn't mind that joke very much. It was funny. Tommy's just taking care of me. He knows that I like to get hand jobs from Asian ladies at massage parlors, and that's just what I do.
I think everybody had Bob Kraft jokes that they were going to do, but one time Brady stood up and said, knock that shit off.
Yeah.
Everybody edited their set instantly.
Instantly. No more of that.
You think he's on his deathbed?
Kraft? No, I just think he's old.
I thought maybe that was the reason, because he's real close with him still. So it's like if he knew something, everybody else didn't.
He just loves him. He loves Bob Kraft, and Bob Kraft loves Tom. How would you not? The guy, he's the reason for Bob Kraft's success. And I thought Drew Bledsoe did a good job at the beginning.
Yeah, Bledsoe was, and the jokes against him were fucking hilarious.
Oh, I know. People went after him all night. That little promo they did with Bill Belichick, you know, I need you to go on tonight. And, you know, this big stage, so you're going to go on, but I'm going to let Tommy start.
Drew Bledsoe, so Tom could run.
Yes, I know. That was a good one. I have a feeling that Kill Tony might be going to Netflix. That's just something I thought about because they let him do a promo for Kill Tony, Tony Hinchcliffe. Where they had that awful Dana White bit. Gronk was way too drunk for me. And he did way too many gay jokes, but not good ones, not well-crafted jokes.
But Edelman did the better gay joke.
Yeah, he did, but he wasn't trashed. Gronk was like a jock or a frat guy that's really trashed and doesn't like gay people or is maybe closeted gay. Remember that old joke Bobcat used to do? I hate you because I really want to kiss you. I got that feeling off of Gronk, and they went after him all night, and he was a good sport about it. But I really don't think, I just think he was trash and not good at telling those jokes. At first, I thought Kevin Hart was terrible, but he got better as the night went on. And anytime he wasn't reading the teleprompter, he was doing all right. Speaking of teleprompter, while Tony Hinchcliffe was doing his thing, he comes up to roast Bert, and he starts making fun of Bert Kreischer, and Bert's reading the jokes along with him. And was buried in.
Bert and Tom
were terrible.
I thought they were awful.
Yeah, they were the worst of the whole night.
I'm surprised they didn't.
Tom down.
I wanted them to plug their vodka. That's how unfunny they were. Belichick was okay. You can tell it's not his thing. He's really trying to lighten his image. He wants a job, as they all made fun of him. Somebody made a joke about him and 16-year-olds. And I forgot who it was. Peyton was a little bit goody-goody. The only things I did not like in the entire evening were Ben Affleck's just rambling anger thing. Kim Kardashian, no point in her being there. And Dana White, I thought, was stupid.
They edited out all those boos when Kardashian took the stage, too.
I bet they did. Like, can you come here and can we get some of your audience over here?
I'm sad that Eli didn't show up.
Eli.
When Glazer said that about Gronk, though,
yeah,
about the bib, even me know that not real money.
Yeah, even me know that.
And they the best line of the whole night.
That yeah. destroyed me.
Even and me I, know that not real money.
And I love that when Hart went back up there, he gave her props for it, too. Like,
oh, yeah.
And that's what I love about Kevin. He really appreciates shit that's funny. And
yes, he does.
And he wants everybody to stop and take notice of it for a minute. And like, this was really funny. That's what I love about him. He's a true comic. No matter what anybody says about they write shit for him, who cares? Everybody has writers.
Yeah, exactly. And to my point, when he's off the cuff and just speaking from his heart, I think what he's saying is great. I really do.
I think Nikki Glaser was the MVP of the night.
Yeah.
He said, now, my boyfriend's in the audience. We've been together 10 years. I love him. He's the love of my life. But I would shoot him in the face for a lottery ticket to suck Tom's dick.
Yeah, that was great. A lot of fun. If you didn't get a chance to watch it, we won't spoil any more jokes. Go ahead and watch it. Eli Manning wasn't there, but he did write a funny tweet. He said, I thought about attending the roast of Tom Brady last night, but I did not want to roast him for a third time.
Yeah.
Which I very much enjoyed. I wish Dudesy had been there to do some stand-up jokes, some roast jokes. That would have been nice, but I don't think Tom likes Dudesy.
That was what I liked about Ron Burgundy's set, too, because he was definitely a Giants fan in the mix.
Yeah, but I thought it was kind of...
It wasn't great, but that's what I liked about it, that he was taking the stance of somebody that was a Giants fan.
Yeah.
And knew that he cost Tom 2 rings.
He did. And, you know, I used to really, really hate Tom Brady. And that went away, of course, when he went to Tampa. And I was rooting for him because, of course, the new Patriots are the Chiefs. So I loved that Super Bowl. And then I watched that show, that 10-episode series, The Dynasty, about the Patriots. And I really enjoyed it. And it made me nostalgic, even though they won all the time. But it was really cool to see these guys just get back together because there's been so much weird stuff in the news. But to see Kraft, Brady, and Belichick all together and Edelman being there and then all those guys. Randy Moss probably shouldn't have been up there doing it, but I like that guy.
I love him.
I like the whole point of his saying, you know, why didn't I ever get a ring?
Right. Why didn't y'all cheat when I was there?
Such a classic regional dialect, too. That is Huntington, West Virginia all the way.
Is it?
Yeah, absolutely. You go there and you shut your eyes and everybody sounds like Randy Moss.
Why wasn't I there, bitch?
News, trailers, and trends with Steph.
Mexican Jeffrey Dahmer. So there's this suspected serial killer in Mexico accused of and murder as police found skulls in his home. What is this?
Well, he likes Mexican food, apparently.
He does.
El Jefe Dahmer.
This girl came home and he had already, I think, killed her aunt or her niece or something like that. And he was trying to kill her. And the cops, when they tracked him back to his apartment to get him for this, they found all these skulls and all kinds of sick Dahmer-esque crap in his apartments, and they realize that he is a serial killer.
Damn.
Yeah.
Is he in the Jusco?
They do have him in there, but okay. It's kind of interesting for the fact that we don't get any serial killer stories anymore. The last one was that this crap up here in New York on that Bilbo Beach shit, and that really doesn't have a great resolution to it.
The CIA found other things to scare us with. So they don't have to manufacture serial killers anymore, like the Son of Sam and Charles Manson and all those things. Anyway.
So Mexico's still doing it the American way.
Dan Schneider is suing Quiet on the Set, the people who produced that show, alleging defamation. Here's what we know about the lawsuit. What do we know about the lawsuit?
Yeah, you're just saying it's bullshit and they didn't have any proof of anything.
At all.
He'll probably win.
I think so, too.
Well, going back to when we were talking about it and we were talking about why they didn't go harder on him, that was my thing. I was like, yeah, he could sue if they don't have any proof. So they were very careful about what they said and what they didn't.
I don't know. He got a lot of bad press for things that were alleged Now, he might have been a bully or a director, a mean director or producer or whatever, but they all are. I mean, maybe not now, but they all were then. And, you know, he's a victim of the times. I don't think he was molesting those kids. And he probably didn't know. Like, you think the old coach of the Penn State Nittany Lions knew what was going on? Never mind. That's a bad example.
You're Give talking about Letourneau?
Jamie Lynn Spears.
Letourneau?
No, not Letourneau.
Letourneau.
Dustin, what were you saying? Yeah,
so give me a paternity test on Jamie Lynn Spears' kid, and then we'll talk.
All right, you go ask him.
I don't have to. Just look at the damn pictures. It looks exactly like him.
Does it look like a sack of shit?
Yeah.
No.
He always puts his testicles on me. Tentacles. Let's see. I had a brain worm and it died.
Isn't there some kind of vaccine for that?
I don't take vaccines because the amount of atrazine in them and what they've done since the vaccines were introduced is they've started using river water from the Nile and also from an Amazon, which I object to on ecological grounds. But they're putting all these brain worms into people. And I had a brain worm and it died, probably from all the heroin that I was doing that killed it. By the way, I don't do heroin anymore. I do Cheryl Hines.
Is this from whenever you drink like mezcal? Did you swallow the worm? Is that how it got in your brain?
I snorted it. I thought the worm, I was so high on heroin that I thought the worm was a line of heroin to do more heroin. And I snorted it. It went into my brain. By the way, I just got added to the Delaware ballot and I have a good chance of beating Joe Biden there if they'd allow me to debate.
Hell yeah.
I'm going to debate Donald Trump at the Libertarian convention, which is pissing off everybody that's a real libertarian. Kind of had an ass full of this guy. I thought he was cool at first, but he's just complains a lot. All right, a brain worm.
Look, he is on the ground doing stuff. He was in Detroit last week with I Swear Vezo, like going all over Southwest Detroit and stuff. I mean, he's out there. He's talking with people.
I'm voting for Biden. Hunter Biden.
I'm writing in Hunter Biden. He's the biggest cock in politics.
Bill Maher says he's quitting.
He's quitting what?
Stand-up.
Oh, yeah. He's never been that good at stand-up, has he?
Nope.
Never been that funny. The first time I ever saw him, I said, who's this guy doing a Bill Murray impression?
Yeah, that's what I said, too. I saw him his first ever Tonight Show.
Yeah. Well, I said,
this guy's ripping off Bill Murray.
Yeah, and he was back then. It was sort of the lazy way. But he just had a thing about him that you just had to see it back then and go, we already have a Bill Murray. He's made a career for himself by being that political guy, you know, with Politically Incorrect and whatever that HBO show is called. What's it called? Real Time.
Yeah.
And then his podcast, which I want to watch the latest one because Seinfeld's on it, but I don't want to endure that. Okay, so you had Kyle Dunnigan on your movie. He does a bad impression of me. No, actually, it's quite good. He sounds just like you. Did you guys watch Colin Quinn on JRE?
No, I got to watch that.
Yeah. Yeah, I did too. I don't watch a lot of, but it depends. If it's somebody that I don't really care about, I wait for the clips and the clippers to do their reviews of it. But I love Colin, so I watched that whole thing. And it was just two dudes rapping, and it was a lot of fun. And then I watched the special on YouTube, and I wish it had been on Netflix, but it wasn't. It was on YouTube. Yeah, he did it in front of the 2024 Psychotherapy Networker Symposium. So it was basically a TED Talk, but it was so funny. And the jokes are great, and I believe it's very Carlin-esque without the anger, but very Carlin-esque, looking at society and where we are and how we got there. And just a lot of funny things that he said. He said, one of the things is, nobody's in charge because we're all in charge. What did he say? He said, our browser histories are our real selves.
Yeah.
And I really dug it. Adam Ray did his very funny Dr. Phil impersonation for the entirety of Two Bears, One Cave. And the first 20 minutes of it were an ad for the vodka. So I stopped listening.
Yeah.
All they did was pour drinks. And I mean, Adam Ray is funny as shit. And that Dr. Phil character he does is also funny as shit. But there was too much vodka talk. I am very happy that Dudesy now is back to being Dudesy. We are in their New World Order thing that they're doing. They're doing all this wrestling stuff, but I don't know. They did some reset after the Carlin thing. And Dustin and I were talking about it. They're just back to doing what they did. And they opened up with Adam's Applebee's, which is one of my favorite segments. I fucking love it. I always like, oh, and I ate them all, buddy. You guys know that, Jeff Scott?
Yeah, my favorite part at the beginning, though, was when Chad bought one of those AI boxes.
Oh, yeah.
It sucked. You could tell by a look on Will's face that he'd been talking it up for like months. Uh-huh. And then when he said, this is a piece of shit, the look on Will's face, he just starts laughing.
He's, oh, yeah.
I can't believe this. Mr. Yeah. AI, and you're sitting here shooting shit down. It was funny.
So you guys, are you, Jeff and Steph, you don't know what Adam's Applebee is?
No.
They're supposed to be written by Dudesy. But and maybe they are written by AI, but the premise is that Adam Sandler is on a quest to go to every Applebee's in the country, and he reviews all of them. And so it's just Will Sasso doing an impression of him. Boy, I ordered 45. I can't do them, so I'm a shitty one. He's like, I ordered 45 of the chicken fingers, and I got a side of the blah, 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 and I ate them all, buddy. They have little clips of them you can find that they're just hilarious.
The premise of that sounds great.
Oh, yeah. It's, and a great name, Adam's Applebee's. But last week, Will wouldn't do it. He goes, no, I'm not doing it. Or 2 weeks ago, he goes, I'm not doing it. You know, free will. Free will order. I didn't really listen to a lot of podcasts because, thanks Netflix, I've just been really, really busy watching TV instead of podcasts. So, yeah, there's that. Yeah.
Guys, are you reading the online comments?
Gotta read some of these comments.
I'm loving your guys' comments.
You're reading your own comments?
Yeah, they're really good. I worked hard on them.
The secret is, don't read the comment cards.
You want me to read some YouTube comments?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Should I read them in a voice?
Can you do like a Piscopo Sinatra?
Piscopo Sinatra.
I got chunks of guys like you in my stool.
That's a Phil Hart.
That's Phil Hart, right?
Let's swing, baby.
Yeah, there you go.
All right. I'm so happy that the cranky princess, of course I'm referring to Steph, is back on the show. But also like to add that Unfrosted was a fun movie. Jim Gaffigan was born to play a fat guy in the 60s. Deeb 2359 wrote, good morning.
Good morning.
Brett Perkins 6888 says, I tried my son's Oculus. I felt like Buffalo Bill was going to sneak up on me. No likey. He also said, nice new opening, Dustin. And then Moose Nut 1337 said, is that a trans joke? Aaron Burella 432 said, almost unsubscribed when you said he just watched your first episode of Kill Tony. LOL. You got to go back and watch the 10 years of evolution. I know I do. And I just want to add, this podcast is excellent and deserves way more subscribers than it has. Quickly made it into my rotation. Thank you for your work.
Yes, man. Thank you.
Thank you.
That's awesome.
We very much appreciate that. And MooseNut1337 said, I skipped the Dave Lucas and Memphis Strangler. Maybe Cam and his new tweaker guy sometimes. He's talking about the Kill Tony podcast.
Yeah.
Thank you guys for your comments. Thank you to our new listeners. Thank you to our new subscribers. Share it with your friends. But most importantly, we really appreciate you leaving comments. Leave comments. All of yous, leave comments. Yell at it. I don't care. But thank you very much. We love the interaction. And we will do another episode where we try to ride the algos and talk about exclusively podcasts. Maybe even, I don't know. We'll do it again. Just chill out. We love all these shows. But we're not haters. You know, because I first heard about Kill Tony and Andrew Schultz on other people's podcasts where they do a really good job of breaking it down and, you know, talking about those podcasts. And I thought, I probably won't like these guys. Well, they're funny. What am I going to do? I'm kind of embarrassed that I'm saying Adam Schultz is funny. Do you guys think or Andrew Schultz is funny?
No, he's funny.
All right. Then I don't feel bad.
I was just thinking about the first time I saw Hinchcliffe and it was on a roast battle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And was he funny?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Shredded. Yeah.
That's his pocket.
He's definitely somebody you didn't want to go up against. And I think in people would underestimate, because you look at him, there's like all kinds of physical things that you could make fun of him about, but he will kill you and your whole family. I mean, he's just vicious.
I even started watching this most recent episode, and I didn't know who the guest was because I'm a dummy. But he's funny, and the show's funny, and I like the format of that show. So I'm going to watch more of it, okay? You Rudy Tooty Booty Scooty.
Hi, it's Bernie Sanders for the pod burn and all that. Spring is here, and we're excited for warmer weather. Stop in to Atlanta Pizza and Euro for one of their 16 ice-cold draft beers and ciders on tap. They do not have Bernie malt liquor yet, but we're working on it. Try one of the many local craft and domestic beers available in cans and bottles. I hope they recycle them because that's very important. Their featured selection this spring is Springwater's Their featured selection is this spring is Sweetwater Brewing's Half a Gummy Fruit Punch IPA. There's a lot to unpack there. There's a pot reference. It's IPA. It's got fruit punch, which is what you drink when you're high. You know, the guy, the Hawaiian punch guy with the hat. Delicious. It's easy drinking, sweet tasting IPA with low bitterness and delicious fruit flavors. APG is a longtime favorite of Konya's and Covington and the East Metro area of Atlanta, Georgia. They're made to order pizzas, gyros, or gyros, however you say it, pasta specialties, and Greek salads are absolutely the best around. They wish to sincerely thank everybody for their business and support, both now and into the future. They have a food truck. Their events are going on regularly, but if you're interested in booking one, just contact Mike Hall at 770-483-6228. Open for dine-in or takeout Monday through Friday, 11 to 9, Saturday, 12 to 9, closed on Sundays. I don't know about the glory hole. You guys said earlier it was open again. I doubt it. Celebrity voice impersonating.
Do you have a commercial or residential construction printing need? Well, what are you waiting for? Contact LDI Repro Printing of Athens. They've been in Athens, Georgia since 2005 with a fast turnaround and affordable prices. Call 706-316-9366 or you can email them at athens@ldiline.com.
His views.
And snooze.
Yeah, last week was Hacks, which I watched the first two of those. Very good.
As well. I agree.
Awesome. A Man in Full, which I don't know. I'm maybe one and done on that.
I'm one and done on that.
The book was good, but the show did not suck me in like the book did.
Mm-hmm.
Like I didn't want to put the book down when I was reading it. What was it, 20 years ago or something? But
yeah.
It the show is, and I love Jeff Daniels, but I just wasn't into it.
All the media coverage of it, too, he's really taking himself seriously.
Yeah. And maybe one and done on that. And Everybody's in L.A., which we've talked about a few times already. I've watched all of those. All right, this week, Dark Matter starts on Apple TV.
Mm-hmm.
This is based on the book by Blake Crouch, which is a really good book. Although I think Recursion would have been a better thing to adapt of his, but I'm looking forward to this.
This looks good.
Yeah.
I'm going to
Amazon Freebie. This is Daniel Tosh's game show. Starts this week.
Okay, what is it about?
It's a bunch of reality stars, and they put them in a house, and they have to play games and shit. Seems like kind of Big Brother-ish, maybe.
But they're people that are famous already?
Yeah, they're famous reality stars.
I'm sort of famous. Get me out of here.
Yeah.
All right, that's a maybe.
It's Daniel Tosh, so I'm going to watch it. The 2024 Mark Twain Prize for American Humor is on Netflix.
If Mark Twain were here today, he'd probably call you what?
But Kevin Hart's getting it, and it's the first time it's moved to Netflix. It was on CNN last year, and previously, like all the other years, it was on PBS.
I got to give it to Netflix, man. They're kicking everybody's ass. Good job, Netflix.
I guess they shopped it around like it was the NFL or some kind of sports franchise to the different networks, and Netflix coughed up the most money.
Nice.
Probably looking forward to that. It's Kevin Hart. Should be very funny. That's on the 11th.
Thank you, Jeff. staff picks. I already mentioned mine, but the Colin Quinn special on YouTube. Check it out.
Mine is a Nikki Glaser special. That's also on the 11th, called Someday You'll Die on HBO Max.
Cool.
Mine's a docu series, or it might just be a documentary, but it's Black Twitter, A People's History, coming on Hulu.
Oh, when's that start? I want to watch that.
May 9th.
And what's it about, really? It's sort of the evolution of Black Twitter. Subgenre of Twitter.
Exactly, yes. And, you know, how Black people felt about the fact that it was being called Black Twitter, and, you know, because they didn't start calling it Black Twitter.
No, white people started calling
exactly.
it.
Exactly. So, yeah.
But also, don't be a dumb white person and try to get involved in that, because you're just going to get destroyed.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I think. Okay. Keep it to yourself.
It was always, I think, though, for most white people, whenever they would reference it, it was in a complimentary way.
Yeah.
That it was a funny thing that they saw that you wouldn't see on white Twitter. Because, right. You know,
right.
We're crackers.
Now it's X. What's yours, Dustin?
Mine is an older movie. I've been going through YouTube, and there's a lot of channels now that somehow buy the rights to movies that aren't on streaming. So mm-hmm. they buy like a package, and for a year they can have these movies up. So you'll see these movies that are just out of print or was never meant to be distributed. And uh-huh. one of them is called Bolt Neck. It's from 2000. And it's got Judge Reinhold, Shelley Duvall, Matthew Lawrence. But the main star is Ryan Reynolds.
Really?
Pre-popular era. And it is so bad that it's fun to watch, but it's it's like a high school Frankenstein knockoff.
And okay.
They put an old man's brain into Ryan Reynolds' body, and he becomes from a nerd to a cool kid.
Okay.
But it's so bad. But yeah.
Where can you watch it? Nick.
Only on YouTube.
Yeah. YouTube. All right. Speaking of Nikki Glaser, back when she was a feature act, she was touring with Josh Blue. Josh Blue, this was at the Funny Farm, which was up in Roswell. And I used to go there all the time. And they were on the Regular Guys show. So it must have been 2008 or 2009. And I went up to the show and I was hanging out with Josh. He goes, "You got any weed?" And we went out and smoked, and Nikki came out. So I got high with this was a long time. I don't do that anymore. I want everybody to know I don't do that anymore. It's against the law in the state of Georgia. But I was a rebel in my 30s. And so I got to hang out with them for a weekend, and it was really cool because I think I was working there running the sound and stuff in the back, and it was really cool. And then she just blew up in the last 10 years or so. I'm trying to find the picture that we're all outside, and I think there's a bowl in it, and I want to put it on Twitter and shame. Let's do some plugs. If you would like to hear me talk about things happy or sad, you can listen to Radio Labyrinth Trambles, which is just me, every Monday. That comes out in the audio feed, so wherever you listen to podcasts. I also do a radio show on Saturday nights called The Popcast, which you can hear on WSB Radio in Atlanta. If you don't live in Atlanta and you want to give it a shot, just check out the podcast feed. It's called The Popcast with Tim Andrews. You can also listen to it on the WSB Radio app. My guest this week's Philly Ocean from Yachtly Crew. They're one of those yacht rock type of bands. They have their own music and their own songs that they sing. One of the videos that they have right now on YouTube has Mario Lopez in the band. And I asked my friend who works for Mario, I said, how did they get him? He goes, oh, he's obsessed with it. And they're pretty good. Philly Ocean is his name. And if you're looking for a last minute Mother's Day gift, why go to Cameo and find me on there and I'll do one for you. I want to thank our Patreon producers. Those are the people who come in at the 25 and up level. They are actual producers of the show. They keep it going. They get cereal for Jeff. And we love cereal. I get cereal too, but all my cereal is Cheerios. I told you guys, did I tell you this? When you're potty training a boy, you can sometimes put a Cheerio in the potty and try to get him to aim for it. I put it in the potty and he reached in to grab it and wanted to eat it.
Like father, like son.
Yes. Definitely. So let's thank our Patreon members, shall we? Tim Slayton, Brian and Chelsea, Tim Slayton, Brian and Chelsea Smith, Jim Peterson, Jim Fortner, Terry Fuller, Chris Chandler, Roby Neely, Mike D, and Matt Carter. If you'd like to come in at that level, you'll get a doodle. I'll do a drawing for you if you like, hand drawn. It doesn't have to be digital. I'll do it any way you want. You get a t-shirt from our store and stickers and all that jazz. But listen, you can come in at any level and you can access our Patreon only show that is available on our Patreon page. So go to patreon.com/Tim Andrews. Don't forget to rate and review us no matter where you view or listen to the show. If you're on YouTube, please subscribe, because we're trying to get to that 1,000 subscribers mark so we can get some of that sweet ad revenue. And again, thank you to all the new people that are here. We hope you continue through the entire show and are hearing this so we can thank you. And don't forget to like and subscribe and share and leave comments and stuff. I guess that's it. So until next week, please remember to keep it canon.
Well, they say all good things come to an end.
What's that got to do with this show?